President Wharton, members of the class of 1975, and their relatives and friends. It's a pleasure to visit Michigan State once again. I have long admired the dramatic progress of this university. I have the highest respect for President Wharton, with whom I have served as a colleague in several endeavors, and count a number of valued friends among the faculty here. Now, it may seem a strange way to express my pleasure on your commencement day by having as my topic, "Is College Dead?" I get the topic from a recent interview by a reporter for a national magazine who is preparing a story with the tentative title of "College Is Dead!" Exclamation point. I ask this question today for two reasons. First, the graduates of today become the alumni of tomorrow with a continuing responsibility for the welfare of their alma mater. Where may MSU be in the year 2000 when you return for your 25th reunion? Second, on Monday, many of you will be out on the job market. What will your degree be worth to you? The answer to this question may not only interest you, but also your parents and your prospective spouses. The October issue of Harper's Magazine has an implied answer to this question in its lead article entitled, "College, Sis Boom Bah Humbug." There's been a flood of articles with a similarly discouraging message. I shall take up these topics briefly in order. First, the future of Michigan State as I see it. Higher education is clearly in trouble. A good guess is that 10% of all institutions now existing will cease to exist, at least in their present form, within the next 10 years. And while the big fallout will be over by then, still others will fail by the year 2000. But nearly all institutions, not just this 10%, are in some trouble. And President Wharton called his State of the University address for 1975, "Hard Times, Hard Choices." The rate of increase in overall enrollments is declining, and there may well be an absolute decrease in the mid-1980s. Some institutions are already on their way down. One of your large regional colleges here in Michigan has already experienced a 40% decline in enrollments and is laying off large numbers of faculty members. Money is harder to get, and inflation eats it up faster, and public support is far below the levels of a decade ago. But the heaviest impact of all this is quite selective. Some institutions are more vulnerable than others. Among the most vulnerable are public teachers' colleges and private liberal arts colleges of lesser renown, and also those many, perhaps 200 institutions, that first sought university status or substantially higher university status in the 1960s and are now caught with excessive costs and programs and greatly disappointed expectations. Less vulnerable are the public community colleges, the better known liberal arts colleges, and the well-established research universities. There are, of course, some institutions in an in-between category, such as the many comprehensive colleges and universities. Michigan State is found in the less vulnerable category as a well-established research university. Institutions in this category will find plenty of applicants because of their high reputations, even if total enrollments decline. Reasonably adequate funds for their research programs because of their special capabilities, even if total funds decline in real terms. And plenty of opportunities for their service functions as the problems of society multiply, since new ideas and high skills in applying them are one of the best sources of solutions. Within this less vulnerable group, I would rate the prospects of Michigan State quite high because of its great sense of forward momentum. Since World War II, the two then established institutions, which have moved the farthest and the fastest as research universities, in my judgment, are Michigan State University and the University of California at Los Angeles. I was a member of the admissions committee of the Association of American Universities, that exclusive club, about 10 years or so ago, when Michigan State was at last admitted to this elite circle. And I was really impressed at the record of accomplishments, particularly since formal university status was only accorded by the state in 1955. As some of the older members of this faculty will remember, acceptance into the AAU had been a hotly contested issue, and so the record was reviewed with very special care. And the sources of the progress of Michigan State have long interested me. You know them better than I, and what they may be. But these are the ones which have come particularly to my attention as an outside observer. The campus here built on a strong base. It had a foundation in agriculture with a record of high service throughout the state. It was located close to the seat of political power in the state and did not neglect this fact. It rode the wave of populist sentiment. Kuhn, in his Centennial History of MSU, has a chapter headed, "The State is Our Campus." And John Hanna used to say that MSU was for the people as a whole. Other institutions had a more elitist image. Then after World War II, MSU, as did UCLA, made its great thrust forward in time to ride the favorable new forces. The great numerical expansion with the GI rush of students, special recruitment here of the new merit scholars, active participation, the most active of any university in the United States in the vastly increasing program of technical assistance abroad, aggressive search for federal funds for research, once increasing at the rate of 10 to 15% a year, alert response here to the need for training for the many new professions and skilled occupations being born. The establishment of experimental internal colleges, Madison, Morrill, and Briggs, when fast growth made innovation more possible, and much else, and I might add, including football. And long gone are the days when Michigan could win 119-0. Although I realize that some scores have not been entirely satisfactory in between. This forward momentum has continued. I was quite impressed recently in looking back over the reports of the Carnegie Commission on Higher Education and the monographs written for that commission to note how often current policy statements from MSU were cited as models for other institutions. And this momentum will have carried MSU even farther ahead in the ranks of the leading universities by the year 2000. MSU will be still very much alive. It is one of the most dynamic universities in the nation and one of the most open to change. Now, briefly, to my second question. What is the degree you receive today worth to you? You may have read or at least seen references to the current bestseller called The Case Against College by Carolyn Byrd, with its chapter headed, "The Dumbest Investment You Can Make," or The Great Training Robbery by Arvor Berg, or Inequality by Christopher Jenks, where it is suggested that since education does almost nothing for you, you and your teachers should simply relax and enjoy it, which some of you may have done even without benefit of this advice. And then Jake says, getting nothing out of college, just go on to rely on the position of your family and society and your own luck to get ahead. Now, there is something to this new downgrading of the value of higher education. A college degree does have a declining economic value. Starting salaries for college graduates are now about 10% above the average annual earnings of all employed persons, while during the decade 1958 to 68, the Golden Age, they were 20% above. The rate of return on what is now identified as the dumbest investment is now figured at about 8.5%, although it was 11.5% a short time ago. And from 1970 to 1972 alone, average increases in the annual income of high school graduates were three times as large as for college graduates. And this is all explained by supply and demand. The supply of college graduates has gone up, and the demand for their services, at least temporarily, has gone down. You and the class of 1975 were all born, from this point of view, I am sorry to say, either 5 years too late or perhaps 10 years too early, since the situation should be better, at least on the supply side, in 1985, which does you no good. Or were you born at the wrong time? Let me present these points. There is more to a job than its entrance rate alone. There is having a job at all, and unemployment among college graduates is comparatively very low. There is also the likely rate of progression in earnings, and college-type jobs generally progress to higher levels. And you can expect, on the average, to earn an income about 40% higher than high school graduates, although I must note that back in the 1960s, the differential would have been 70%. And there's also more to a job than the income it provides. There is also the sense of satisfaction that goes with it. And college-type jobs show a rate of satisfaction about 30% higher than other jobs. There is more to life than a job. There is also the overall quality of life. And those with a college degree are, on the average, likely to experience, the various polls indicate, a higher level of personal happiness, better health, as measured by fewer days in the hospital, fewer divorces, greater capacity as effective consumers, more participation in cultural programs. Generally, the college graduate makes better decisions about his or her life and enjoys it more. Beyond these personal advantages, those with a college degree are more likely to vote, to participate in voluntary community efforts, to be tolerant about persons of other races and other religions, to be better informed about local, national, and world affairs. Additionally, education contributes in the long run to greater equality of earned incomes. Comparatively less gets paid for educated skill, as there is more skill available, and more gets paid for disagreeable work, as fewer people are willing to undertake it. This is the positive aspect for society of the negative aspect for the individual college graduate of a comparatively lesser advantage in the job market. Also, higher education, as here at MSU, is one of the major ways of reducing inequalities due to race and due to sex. All of these are proven facts. Those who are today saying that a college education is obsolete, and I quote, are looking too long at too little and neglecting the totality of individual and social results. College is clearly more than, quoting again, just a holding pen for superfluous students. A mood of gloom and doom, a kind of doomsday syndrome, pervades much of American public sentiment today, and particularly among intellectuals, with some good reasons behind it. But in some cases, this mood seems quite excessive. And such a case, I believe, is higher education. The gloom and the doom of today is just as excessive as was the euphoria of the early 1960s. A more realistic evaluation of the situation is in order. Such an evaluation will lead, I am sure, to the conclusion that the degree you earn today is worth it both to you and to society. College is not dead. And when you return as alumni in the year 2000, you will find Michigan State, I predict, even more eminent among universities than it is today. And you will have concluded by then, if not always now, that the time you have spent here was well spent in many ways, and one of the most valuable periods of your lives, and good luck.